Do you remember the summer of 2010? That summer, Arizona unleashed such harsh anti-immigration laws that more than 200 Unitarian Universalists from around the country gathered in protest in Phoenix. Some folks challenged the law directly, preparing to be arrested for their actions, and many were. Others came to support those being arrested. And others came simply because they had to be there, had to bear witness, had to be present, had to speak with their bodies. These good people each had their own reasons for traveling to Arizona at the height of summer. And they were brought together by a multi-faith campaign sponsored by the Unitarian Universalist Association called Standing on the Side of Love. Thanks to that campaign, many of the UUs in Phoenix that day wore these sunny yellow t-shirts proclaiming that they stand on the side of love and inspiring locals to refer to them as the love people. The love people, how cool is that? And how proud our religious ancestors would be, particularly our Universalist ancestors who believed so deeply in love. They believed that God loves everyone, that God would never condemn a person to hell in an afterlife or in this life. In the 2.5 years since Phoenix, hundreds more UUs have donned these yellow shirts in protests, marches, and acts of civil disobedience. They have stood and sat and walked and rolled and crutched and chained themselves together, continuing a proud UU tradition of fighting injustice by questioning authority. Authority. While the word love tends to conjure up warm and fuzzy feelings amongst most UUs, the word authority tends to hit us in the gut, causing us to throw up our hands in protest. We UUs don't much like authority. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like other people having power over us. And as a result, we love these bumper stickers. As many of you know, UUs questioning authority is nothing new. Unitarians and Universalists have been questioning authority for nearly 500 years, starting when we challenged the organization that had a monopoly on authority back then, the Catholic Church. Unitarians and Universalists were part of the early Protestant movement, protesting beliefs and practices that weren't grounded in their authority of the time, the Bible. These folks risked and sometimes lost their lives challenging the authority of the church. Ever since, we UUs have insisted on thinking for ourselves, following our consciences, challenging the status quo, and reinventing our religion again and again. My UU history professor, the Reverend Susan Ritchie, calls Unitarian Universalism the Protestant religion that never stopped protesting. Protesting, religiously and publicly, can help us grow and evolve. In public life, Unitarians and Universalists have challenged injustice again and again, from the suffrage and civil rights movements to marriage equality and immigration reform. Occasionally, we've taken on our government directly, such as the three California congregations that refused to ask their ministers to sign the loyalty oath in 1954, eventually winning their case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Or our own UU publishing house, Beacon Press, the only publisher in the country with the courage to publish the Pentagon Papers in their entirety in 1971. These historic events were possible only because of the day-to-day actions of individuals and groups questioning authority. Individuals like Jim Forsythe, who, by the way, made it into my sermon before that comic came out yesterday, so I was thrilled to see it. Jim is a prime example of someone who lived his conscience by standing up to authority day after day after day. And this congregation stands up to the authority of the status quo in Castro Valley whenever you turn out for gay pride, and also when you offer programs at the Castro Valley Library that challenge the dominant paradigms of that community. There are so many ways to challenge authority. And we UUs are proud to be known as heretics, dissenters, free thinkers, even rabble-rousers. We are a people who think for ourselves. We don't take much on faith. But where does our authority come from? Well, one very UU response is that it comes from many sources. You can find them listed in your hymnal. Direct experience, individual conscience, wisdom from the world's religions, science and reason, lessons from the natural world, and the inspirational words of prophetic women and men. But while we're inspired by many sources, ultimately, our authority as UUs comes from us. When our religious forebears came to this country, they rejected the hierarchy of the Church of England, choosing to vest their authority in the people as led by God. These folks believed that a congregation should choose its own religious leaders, rather than having clergy imposed from above. They believed that every member should have a voice and a vote, not just the church elders. And they fashioned this shared authority around a covenant, an aspiration about how they wanted to be together in community. Sound familiar? As UUs, and also as U.S. citizens, we are the authority. Not any one of us individually, but we collectively. Authority is vested in the people, not in a monarch or dictator or pope. We elect leaders to guide us, and we reserve the right to disagree with them. In fact, we have a moral obligation to question our leaders. That's what makes the system work, imperfectly, to be sure. The thing is, it's not us versus them, much as we might like it to be. Really, it's just us. This is particularly true at the congregational level, where we come together by choice, sharing basic values and aspirations, even while we may have very different ideas about how to realize them. We like to say that each person has a piece of the truth, And we bring these truths together, knowing that together we are wiser and stronger and more capable than any one individual. The most important decisions facing this congregation are made by its members, not the minister, not the board of trustees. You've chosen these folks to lead and advise you, and they do an admirable job. But the biggest decisions belong to the congregation. The authority rests in you. So, the authority rests in the congregation, and our congregations have challenged authority for the past 500 years. How does that work? Well, it can get tricky. So tricky, in fact, that the UU Commission on Appraisal has just released a fascinating study entitled, "Who's in Charge Here?" It explores the different types of authority within UU congregations and how sometimes they can bump up against one another. It's a fascinating read. I commend it to you, and I'm delighted to hear that your Board of Trustees has been reading this. So I hope that there will be many conversations about authority in our congregation, in our movement, and in the world. So, authority and Unitarian Universalism can get complicated. Now, I'm sure it's never happened here, but in some congregations, would you believe that UUs can actually get in their own way? So busy disagreeing and distrusting those in authority that it's hard to come together and get anything done? It really happens sometimes. And the thing is, it's in our history because historically, we UUs have been suspicious of the authority that rests in any institution, even our own. The father of American Unitarianism, William Ellery Channing, wrote an essay on the dangers of associations. The dangers of associations. And it took over 100 years of conversation, 100 years for the Unitarians and the Universalists to finally decide to come together. That's a lot of talking. Now, some folks joke that we're the organized religion for folks who despise organized religion. And others joke that we're simply the disorganized religion. And both quips have some truth in them. In case you hadn't noticed, we're not always an easy group to lead. You may have heard the oft-quoted expression that leading UUs is like herding cats. And one reason our Standing on the Side of Love campaign is so extraordinary is that it's managed to bring us together on a national level to take concrete actions in the name of our principles rather than just talking about them. Now, one reason we're so hard to lead is that we can get so caught up in questioning authority that we overdo it. The Molly Ivins quote at the top of your order of service haunted me when I read it. Ivins wrote, "What you need is sustained outrage. There's far too much unthinking respect given to authority." Now, at first glance, this quote sounds vintage UU. Don't trust authority. Think for yourself. But those two words, sustained outrage, strike me as dangerous. While I'm not advocating unthinking respect, when outrage goes on autopilot, when we question and resist constantly, we lose opportunities for coming together, for negotiation, for openings, for common ground. we lose the possibility that our opponents may, occasionally, have a valid point. Further, with all this questioning, it can be hard to get anything done. And so I find myself asking, where is the healthy balance between questioning and trust? Are there times when we could actually trust the people we've elected to lead us? Now, this is a religious question as well as a practical one, and different religions approach it in different ways. Christianity, for example, emphasizes trust or faith, though Christians certainly question and debate as well. Judaism emphasizes questioning, wrestling with God, though Jews trust as well as wrestle. The Buddha encouraged his followers to trust only direct experience, not the words of a teacher, not even the words of the Buddha himself. When to trust and when to question is not a question to answer, but rather a question to live and a question to ask again and again. Perhaps the deeper question is how we question authority in a way that helps our leaders to lead. This morning's reading about the rabbi and the heckler offers food for thought. To the amazement of the crowd, the beloved rabbi genuinely grieves the death of the man who'd been a constant thorn in his side. We UUs are pretty good at being thorns, and I can imagine some of us cheering the outcome of this story. At last, a leader who recognizes our gifts. And at the same time, as a religious leader, I find myself trying on the rabbi's shoes. Would I actively welcome the relentless devil's advocate? Truthfully, I don't think so. I fear I'd be more likely to dismiss the constant critic as the boy who cried wolf, and then miss a real crisis when one came along. If I were choosing my ideal dissenter, I can dream, right? I'd choose someone I could trust to be honest when she disagreed, but who disagreed sparingly and respectfully after doing her own discernment of what the situation called for. That's my fantasy. What about you? What kind of leader are you? What kind of dissenter are you? Which role is more comfortable? What style of dissension helps you the most as a leader? When do we question authority, and when do we trust our leaders? When do we support a decision with which we may not agree because we trust the wisdom of the leader or of the group? These are deep spiritual questions, when to step up and when to step back. There's no one-size-fits-all answer. Instead, we need to search our minds, our hearts, and our consciences constantly. Perhaps the most difficult question is how we wear both the t-shirt and the bumper sticker. How do we question authority lovingly? For me, that question takes us back to that hot July in 2010. Following her arrest in Phoenix, imprisoned in miserable conditions, and witnessing injustice and cruelty all around her, Unitarian Universalist Mara Cardenas somehow found the compassion to reach out to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the man directly responsible for both the harsh immigration sweeps and the despicable conditions in the prison. As Sheriff Arpaio walked past her cell, Mar held up her hands to form a heart, and she mouthed the words, "I love you." I know Mar, and I know that she meant those words sincerely, just as sincerely as she opposed the oppressive policies Sheriff Arpaio represented. May we learn from her example. May we speak truth to power, with love and in the name of love. May we welcome the dissenter in our midst as a holy teacher. May we continue our proud legacy as the love people and the question authority people. And may we each use our own authority wisely, with humility and with love. Blessed be, and amen.